Good.
Grace and peace be with all of you. It is a holy privilege to welcome you to this place this wonderful morning. I invite you now to read with me in unison our greetings. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
The risen Christ is with us.
Praise the Lord.
The Lord is my light and my salvation.
For whom shall I fear?
The Lord is the stronghold of my life.
Of whom shall I be afraid? One thing I ask of you, O Lord, and that I will pursue, to live in your house all the days of my life, to behold your beauty and to see you in your temple.
My friends, I don't know about you, but we have a story to tell, amen? We have a story to tell, so I invite you now to stand as you are able as we sing our first hymn number 398, I Love to Tell the Story. With joy what you say to us today.
Today, and I will tell you up front that Maria was not with us that day. This is the group over here. Maria was not with us that day, and I don't tell you that because I don't want her to get blamed for what I say next. But our assignment that day was to pick a scripture and a theme for today's worship. So we looked at the lectionary scriptures for the day, and we read through them, and we decided on the Old Testament reading. I think it was something in Joshua. And we quickly decided on a theme. And then there was one in our group who said, I don't like it. I don't like it. The context doesn't match the theme. The theme doesn't match the context. So after 30 to 35 minutes of theological debate, Gordon said, let's just scrap them both and we'll start over. Why don't we just say Jesus is Lord? And that'll be our theme. And Pete said, Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. By that point, Ben and I were so exhausted, we weren't going to argue with anything. And Gordon then said, Jesus is Lord. Why don't we say Jesus was Lord? That'll really have them scratching their heads. How could something so simple be so difficult? It was simple. All we had to do was choose a scripture and a theme. But it certainly wasn't easy. It was simple, but it wasn't easy. I think that's what Paul was saying to the Christians in Rome when he said, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. He was saying, it's simple, but it's not easy, Gordon. It's simple, but it's not easy. Paul was talking to Jews who had grown up in the Hebrew faith like he had. He was talking to men and women who were trying to live by the strictest letter of the law in the midst of their newfound faith in Jesus Christ. And for them, it was simple, but it wasn't easy. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Paul quoted from Deuteronomy 30, his own little twist on that passage of Scripture, but a Scripture that the Jews would have known. He said, you don't have to go up to heaven to try to bring Jesus down. God already sent his Son to live and walk among us. Emmanuel, God is with us. He said, you don't have to go down to hell to try to bring Christ up. Yes, he died on the cross. And yes, his body was laid in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead. The women that were standing at the tomb that first Easter Sunday morning heard the angel say, I know you're here looking for Jesus. But he's not here. He is risen. He is risen. You don't have to go looking for Jesus. Jesus is on your lips and in your heart. It's simple, but it's not easy. It's simple, but it's not easy. When I graduated from college, I was an alcoholic, and for the next 11 or 12 years, I drank practically every day. But I was fortunate. I finished my student teaching on Friday and got married on Saturday. I married this cute little blonde chick that I met in psychology class. She was a student, and I was a case study. Now, come on, that's funny. What's wrong with you? But we got married, and she grew up in the church, and she went to church every Sunday, and she prayed for me daily. And over time, she invited me, and she bribed me, and she threatened me, and she did everything she could do to get me to go to church with her. So for a couple years, I was going to church, and I was doing the Christian thing. But I had no idea what a relationship with Jesus Christ was all about. One Sunday morning, a Gideon speaker came to our church, and our son Dusty was about this high, about the size and age of our grandson over there. Carrie would say that's a shameless plug, but he was a typical little boy. He crawled under the pews. He climbed over the back of the pew. He walked through the man's open briefcase. You know how little boys are. And that man gave Dusty one of those little New Testaments that the Gideons give away. I carried that Bible home and I laid it on the coffee table. And it was some point on Sunday afternoon when I walked by that Bible and I picked it up. And I opened it and I started to read. Now this was a time in my life when I didn't read God's Word. But for some reason, I just couldn't put it down. And when I went out to work the next morning, I took that Bible and I stuck it in my hip pocket. And every time I had a free minute at work, I'd take it out and I'd open it up and I'd read. It was some point on Tuesday afternoon when I found that prayer on the back page and I prayed that prayer and I accepted Christ into my heart and life. The change in me was dramatic. Paul describes it best in 2 Corinthians 5:17 when he says, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. I truly was a new creation in Jesus Christ. It was Christ in me that overcame that addiction to alcohol. It was simple, but for me it wasn't easy. It was simple. I confessed with my mouth, Jesus is Lord. Jesus was my Lord. But I didn't believe it in my heart. You see, I had the head knowledge, but I didn't have any heart knowledge of Jesus Christ. I've heard it said that the distance from the head to the heart can sometimes be miles. For me, it was years. Because I was confessing with my mouth Christ as Lord, but I truly didn't have it in my heart. When I'd been sober about 6 months, some friends that I worked at a summer camp with when I was in college came to visit. And do you know what I did when they came to visit? I went out drinking with them. Because that's what I'd always done. And over the years, I would go back to drinking for a day or two or sometimes a week or a month or sometimes even longer. Because I was relying on my own strength, my own willpower to overcome that addiction. I had the head knowledge, but I didn't have the heart knowledge. Paul said, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's simple, but it's not easy. You have to come to the place in your spiritual journey where you're willing to say, Jesus, I truly want you to be Lord of my whole life. You got to invite him into your heart. Not just your head, but into your heart. That's where true transformation takes place. It's simple, but it's not easy because I had to surrender my will to the will of God. I had to let the Holy Spirit work in me to change me, to transform me, to remake me into the image of Christ. It was simple, but it wasn't easy. Jesus said, if anyone would be my disciple, they must deny themselves, take up their cross daily and follow me. If you want to save your life, you have to be willing to lose it. It's simple, but it's not easy. It's simple, but it's not easy. It's a daily dying to self, surrendering to the work and the will of God in our lives. It's saying, Jesus, I want you to be Lord of my whole life, head and heart. Jesus went off by himself in the garden to pray. Falling down on his knees, he lifted his eyes to heaven. He said, "Father, if it's possible, take this cup from me. Dad, if it's possible, I don't want to die on the cross. But not my will, Father, but yours be done. Not my will, Father, but yours be done." I don't think it was a once and done for Jesus, though. I think that when he saw those high priests and guards coming up through the garden, again he prayed, "Father, not my will, but yours be done." When he stood before Pilate and wouldn't even utter a word to defend himself, he was praying, "Not my will, Father, but yours be done." When the guards spit on him and put a crown of thorns on his head, he was praying, "Not my will, Father, but yours be done." When they beat him nearly to death, he prayed, "Not my will, Father, but yours be done." When he felt the nails pierce his flesh, Jesus prayed, "Not my will, Father, but yours be done." It's simple, but it's not easy. You got to have the head knowledge and the heart knowledge. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It means surrendering both our lives and our wills to the work and the will of God in us. I want to leave you with one question today. What is it in your life that you need to surrender to God today? It's simple, but it's not easy.
Christ our Lord invites to your table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Let's jump over to the page.
Please join me. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love, and we have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. Let us offer one another signs of reconciliation and love.
We're turning now to a time of communion, and so I ask that as we begin to this process of taking Christ into our bodies in this way, that we also remember Bob's words about this simple but not easy task of also taking Christ into our hearts. So go back to page 9 in the Methodist hymnal there, and we're going to start at the top of the page for those who are unfamiliar with this book. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right and good and joyful thing,
always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through the prophets. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, and recovering sight of the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick and fed the hungry and ate with sinners. By baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made for us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and your Holy Spirit. My brothers and sisters, a little off script. Imagine that night, and with Dorothy Jean here, it's tough because she can paint it so much better than I can. Now remember, this is not the first night we've been together as disciples. Not the first Passover we've been together as disciples. But it is the first one in Jerusalem, a busy international city where noise is the rule, even during these holy times. And we're in this dark room with the food preparers in one corner, with the children of them clinging to the legs, with the disciples in the center, the apostles reclining for the meal, the Passover meal, and others around. Another Passover together, year 3. Only our Lord and Savior knows this will be the last. And as he begins, he picks the bread. He blesses it, breaks it, and begins to distribute it to his followers, and says, "This is my body, which will be broken for you. And my brothers, when you do this, remember this night and remember me." Then he took the wine after the meal. All grew silent as he held the wine up. "My brothers, this is the blood of the new covenant. That covenant so long ago. My blood will be spilled for you this very night. When you do this, remember me. Remember this night."
We offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ
out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Please join me in the words of our Savior.
Our Father,
who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come,
thy will be done,
on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread,
and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom,
the power,
and the glory
forever.
Amen.
I invite you now to come forward. We'll have gluten-free bread on this side over here and participate in this act of having Christ enter into our bodies. Bread of life and the cup of salvation. You have united us with one another and made us one with all your people in heaven and on earth. Now send us forth in the power of your Spirit, that we may proclaim your redeeming love to the world and walk in the resurrection of Christ our Savior. Amen. I ask you now to turn in the blue hymnal, the Mennonite hymnal, to number 592, Love, Divine Love, All Loves Excelling, 592.